Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 380. Today is the 26th of May of 2021, and we will be talking about app service environments and more specifically ACE-V3. On Teams today with me, we have Suji, Kendall, and our very special guest, Christina Compi. And before getting into ACE, as usual, we have some updates we wanted to share. But something we're doing different today is there's one big update that we wanted to just spend a couple minutes to kind of unpack. And that is the ability to run a number of different Azure application services on Kubernetes. And those Kubernetes with Arc enabled can be anywhere. That could be somewhere on-prem. It could be on GCP. It could be on AWS. And that's pretty big and has been codenamed Project Lima within Microsoft for a couple months already. And Kendall, I know you've had the experience. You've had the chance to play with it and wanted to get your thoughts on how it feels. And then Suji, also getting your thoughts on what are your initial reactions to it.
Yeah, so this has actually been in the works for like a long time. At least the ramblings and the rumblings of this happening. And I think a big part of it is, and we talk about this, you know, almost every show now, but Kubernetes really being, I think, the de facto standard that customers have gone to not only host containers, but just to abstract away the infrastructure a bit more and get the kind of scalability they're looking for. And a lot of the times, too, we see customers that are choosing Kubernetes as their standard infrastructure for hosting, regardless of if they're on premises or in another cloud provider, because they see the benefits in the portability of container workloads and some of what Kubernetes provides, especially as that project has continued to grow in the open source community. So we've made so much progress, I think, even with AKS in the past, you know, 6 months to a year, bringing in a lot of features that really enable enterprises to not only trust Kubernetes on Azure, but also take advantage of a lot of these add-ons that we've created, be it pod identity or service mesh. And then we've talked a lot about Dapper recently being this way of helping developers build microservices in a more streamlined way. And so I think Project Lima is kind of the culmination of all of these efforts, not only to enhance the development experience for microservices, make containers and Kubernetes more usable and abstract away more and more of its complexity. And so that's what I think Project Lima is really aimed at doing is, hey, we see that you want to use Kubernetes. We know that a lot of the times you don't want to have to manage the platform. You don't want to have to worry about all of the complexity. So how can we integrate this with Azure Arc and bring down some of the developer productivity, and the app service availability within Azure and provide that on Kubernetes anywhere? And so, I think it's really, really exciting, especially when we talk about the evolution of Azure Functions runtime can now be containerized. Logic Apps runtime can now be containerized. And so this is just the next evolution of, okay, well, we should continue down that journey and make API management and Event Grid and App Service more accessible. And so I think this is going to be really, really exciting. And there's even more that I think is in progress that I'm privy to that I don't even know if I can talk about yet that I think will even take this story further, especially in terms of integration with open source offerings. So I know we've talked about Dapper on AKS is now being created as an add-on and going to be integrated with Azure Arc. And so I think we'll continue to see more open source integration in a managed way as we make Kubernetes accessible and Azure accessible kind of anywhere. I don't know. I think it's really, really exciting. So those are some of my thoughts on it. But it is really cool. And we're working on a neat demo on our team on how to showcase some of what this can do in terms of running Kubernetes at the edge, running it in Azure and other cloud providers and showing the way that you can take advantage of Lima and really benefit from what it has to offer. So that's my
I mean, that's well said, Kendall. And this week is Build. We had a lot of announcements. So this was the big announcement, I think, at least from an Azure perspective that caught our eye. But there's a few other announcements too. And I think we'll also note here, Cynthia, that this this particular episode will probably be published next week. Right. So a few days after Build, so everyone would have had the time to digest all of that by the time they listen to this episode. But I took away the, you know, the Arc, the Arc component of that is very critical for our customers. I've personally worked with it with our financial services customers, and they love it, being able to run workloads on premises, just, you know, and single plane of glass. And now taking that step further with app services, you know, just blew my mind yesterday. So, and I'm sure our special guest today, Christina, has something to say about the app service world in general. We'll get to her in just a minute. But yeah, I think this is just an excellent story for Microsoft, and looking forward to all the new stuff that Kendall was alluding to.
And I think there's like one last part that is very interesting with it being on Kubernetes, is that there's another love control that you can get that kind of lives in between what you talk about, like pure PaaS services versus IaaS, that there's like this middle ground where you want a little more, but you also don't want to take on the entire burden of managing infrastructure. And now with being able to run different Azure application services on Kubernetes, you get that best of both worlds. And now without
I think right now the reality is app service is done so well, right? First party product, you know, offering that we've had in the cloud. And frankly, I think a lot of the times we see customers running to AKS or Kubernetes when really app service is the way to go. So it's kind of that, I think it's mirroring those things. It's like app service really is the right platform for a lot of these applications. So you can still get a little bit of both worlds, the consistency of running on Kubernetes, but also the flexibility and the ease of use that app service provides. So I think that's really exciting. So I'm super happy about the guest that we have today. So I'll stop talking now.
Definitely. And I'll turn it over to you, Christina. Can you introduce yourself and tell our listeners what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. Christina Compi. I'm a principal program manager in the app service team. I've been driving the app service environment and the networking story for, we'll just say, a while. Anything else makes me sound a little older, but for a little while now. And I'm really pumped about the latest version we're about to push out the door. It's in preview now, the app service environment V3. So that's what I'm hoping I can get other people interested in and hyped up for. And nothing against Lima, but I'm far more excited about the thing I'm working on. I may have a small bias, but, you know.
You know, one thing I'll say, Christina, I always got confused with the naming of, I don't know. I mean, like, they use ACE, like an environment, or isolated. I've heard the word isolated be used as well. Just can you set us straight? What's the right way to call this service?
Well, let's see. All right. So you would call the service the app service environment if you wanted to refer to it by its proper name. That tends to be a mouthful. So I've shortened it over the years to just saying ACE. Some people say ASC, but that, again, I'm lazy. So ACE is shorter, one syllable. Isolated is the pricing SKU that you deploy your apps with on top of ACE. So in ACE V2, you can host isolated SKU apps. And in ACE V3, sadly, it's isolated V2 apps on ACE V3. It's like, it would have been a little cleaner if it was isolated V3 on ACE V3, but oh well. We missed that little opportunity to have the numbers line up. So if I say isolated, it sounds to me like I'm talking about the pricing SKU for ACE V2. However, if you're using it as a non-proper noun, then sure, yes, you can host isolated applications on ACE. However, it gets a little squirrely because we have a pricing SKU by the name.
Christina, I'm curious what first came to the fruition for app service environment, because you talked about you were there since the beginning. what wasn't enough with like multi-tenant app service, and what's the value that ACE provides?
Sure. So what we were looking for was a way to have, all right, if you go back then, this is all pre-private endpoints and stuff, we needed a way to expose applications on an address inside a customer's virtual network. There was just no bridging technology at the time that would allow us to do it. We didn't have service endpoints, didn't have private endpoints. App Gateway V1 was walking out the door. But even then, it wasn't easy or even possible to secure your apps in the multi-tenant service to it. And so some of the guys in the team came up with the idea of doing a single-tenant deployment of app service inside the customer's virtual network. That led to a whole project that became originally, it's a hosting environment. So like if you looked in ARM and you looked at your object, it's still called hosting environments. And then some of the marketing people got a hold of it and they called it web hosting environments. And for a while, it was called web hosting environments. And then marketing part two got in there like, no, it's now app service environments. Meanwhile, we're all like, whatever, we call it mini stamps. So internally, they'll still often get called mini stamps. But essentially, it's a personal deployment of the Azure App Service that runs in your virtual network. And the benefit it gives you is the isolated inbound and outbound inside the customer's virtual network, and you get a single tenant system. So if you're looking for a security and isolation thing, something that goes past your compliance reviews more easily, this was the way to go. But the early stories for ACE had some, we'll call them opportunities. Because it's deployed in the customer's virtual network, the customer has to allow all the inbound and outbound dependencies for the system to operate. And, well, people don't like to do that. They don't want a hole in their Azure virtual network. They kind of are loath to say, allow outbound to the internet. And so we've been working for years to get to where we are with ACE V3, which is where you have no more inbound and outbound dependencies in the customer's virtual network at all. It deploys in a, you might consider it black box, but you know, the way a VM drops in there, you don't see what's behind the scenes holding the VM up. Now the ACE deploys inside the customer's virtual network, and thankfully you don't see the inbound and outbound traffic anymore.
Okay, so I have one follow-up question then for both of the things that we just talked about. So when we talk about the term isolated, that's related to the app service plan that's hosting yes. The ACE. Is that okay?
So well, isolated, not the one that's more hosting the ACE. I'm okay. Sorry. It's the one that's hosting the apps inside the ACE. So if you have an isolated okay. SKU app service plan, you can have multiple app service plans inside an ACE. An ACE is your own personal deployment of Azure App Service, okay. And it can host many app service plans. And within each app service plan, you can have many web apps. And the pricing model for app service plans, or sorry, the pricing model in app service is generally against the app service plan. Okay. With ACE V2, you paid a stamp fee and you paid the app service plan fee. In ACE V3, okay. There's no more stamp fee. You just pay for your app service plan.
Okay.
That's a lot cheaper.
That's perfect. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then I guess the question about ACE V3. So I know that when we've seen customers, or I've worked with customers in the past who needed some of this isolation, needed the network integration that we talked about, so they went with ACE, but then they saw certain challenges when it came to like scalability. And so can you speak to what that might look like in ACE V3, and if some of the things like private endpoints and these things that have progressed are going to help maybe solve some of the initial pain points or opportunities?
Yeah. Sure. So let's see. Let me talk about the scaling part first. So ACE V2 and V1, actually all the ACEs, you provision upon demand. So when you're scaling out or scaling up, we add the VMs. In the multi-tenant service, we have a pre-allocated amount of compute that's just sitting there in case people need it. So in the multi-tenant service, we scale real fast because it's already provisioned. We've been working over the years to make things faster and faster between V1 and V2. And as slow as V2 is, it's light years ahead of V1. While with V3, we're making a nice big jump again in terms of scaling performance. So it still takes a while to scale out. It's not instant because we are provisioning upon demand when people scale horizontally up or down. But behind the scenes, we've changed a lot. We didn't just separate the networks and have Ace inject cleanly without any dependencies, we also move from a cloud service-based architecture to VM scale sets. And we are able to now start taking some of the benefits of that. The scale time has moved roughly, well, let's see. I hate to be held. This isn't a legal document, right? But the Windows scale time is roughly less than 20 minutes, and the Linux scale time is less than 15 minutes, which is a drastic increase of where it was earlier. And when we scale, we're not just provisioning the VM, but we're having to deploy our software on it. So we've been optimizing that, eliminating restarts, trying to package as much as we can into VHD, et cetera. Another scaling aspect is that scale operations used to be blocking the entire ACE, and now they don't do that. They still block the same size in OS, but they don't block everything else. And then to your point on private endpoints and like VNet integration that we have in the multi-tenant service versus ACE, they're great features. They enable you to set up isolated connections for your apps in the multi-tenant service with your virtual networks. And it's wonderful. And they allow you access to on-prem resources, et cetera, exposed line of business applications, you name it. However, these things are enabled on your web app, right? And so when you look at it from a security point of view or compliance point of view, some people, and we have policy going out the door so you could set policy to drive it, but these things are enabled at your app level. And we totally believe they're secure and everything. But from a review point of view, a lot of people like the idea that they can put security around the system. So with ACE V3, you could put in all the NSGs and UDRs you like around the system, and there's nothing being enabled at the app level. So your network isolation is in the hands of your networking engineers. Your application development is in the hands of your devs. And that's different than the model in the multi-tenant where they're kind of shared real estate. Kind of like a host-based firewall versus having a device upstream. So ACE V3 is still going to be the pinnacle. In fact, it satisfies a slew of our security requirements that are being laid upon us. You can even deploy it on dedicated hardware. ACE V3 will allow you to deploy onto a dedicated host group. So it's still going to be the best in terms of your security isolation. I forget who had the hand up next. You guys can just go.
the hands are more for us so that we don't fight over each other. Christina, I'm curious, with the evolution from ACE V2 to ACE V3, do you see customers sharing an ACE within their enterprise, or does each team kind of manage their own ACE?
It's a great question. So in ACE V1 and ACE V2, you paid for the infrastructure directly. And those models really drove you to trying to get as many internal customers writing on the same system as possible. With ACE V3, you don't have that. There's no more stamp fee. You're not paying separately for the infrastructure. You just pay for your plan. So what I think you're going to see is the people who are trying to combine usage inside a company to save money, they're not going to worry about that anymore. That goes out the window. People can go back to their own separate, you know, ACEs. However, there are a lot of companies who want to jam as much in the same subnet space as possible. And ACE still takes up a subnet, right? So I've got customers who, you know, bemoan the use of the IP addresses inside their networks, and they want to have as much as possible in one network. So for them, they're going to still drive as much use into one ACE as possible because you could get a higher density. But the customers who don't worry about that and they want to distribute, they're going to be able to now enjoy themselves without any limitations. Oh, and by the way, we get zone redundancy in the ACE V3 also. So there's a nice little, you know, yay.
You know, Christina, I remember back in the V2 days, and I think you and I had worked together for getting ACE deployed to a financial services customer. One of the challenges they had, as you mentioned, is that you had to have these ports opened. And the reason for that was the control plane, I believe, from Azure to be able to get into that and manage it. So, I mean, you said we don't need it now, but like, how do we get rid of it? Like, what's the control mechanism now?
We've actually hired a large group of psychics that send the... No, we don't use that. We deploy the app service environment into a network that's under Microsoft's control, and then we use the same injection technology that we're using for the VNet integration feature in the multi-tenant service to inject the inbound and outbound sockets in the customer's virtual network. So this model goes to paradigms that you would have seen in the early 2000s and stuff, where people would actually have physical computers with multiple network interface cards. And like one interface card would be for like the system operators to access the host. Another would be for applications to talk to each other. And the third is for tenant traffic. So this model is now being realized with how we're deploying in Azure. So what we've got now is the ACE deploys inside one separate network, but is essentially using interface cards in the customer's network for the tenant traffic. And that allows for customers to completely isolate their workloads without affecting the ACE. And it also allows us to lock down the ACE without affecting the customers. So from a security standpoint, it's the best of both worlds. You know, people can't get to where they shouldn't go, and, you know, everybody's happy. Well, I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I am too.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm just curious. I'm a customer. So there's kind of two scenarios. I'm a customer. I'm looking at using an ACE. I see, you know, ACE V3 is in public preview. Is there any reason or any mitigating factor why I shouldn't go with ACE V3? And then secondarily, next up would be, I'm a customer on ACE V2. How difficult is the migration process to V3?
Those are great questions. So if you want to play with the preview to get just an early feel for it, great to do right now. However, there's a big change happening over the next couple of weeks as we push out the GA candidate. So one of the challenges with ACE V3 was the fact that we're taking advantage of technology in ways that it wasn't originally built for. And among the things that we needed changes for was the load balancer code. And it wasn't ready to do this whole cross-network thing that we're trying to do today. Well, we've been working with the networking team for quite some time, and that code to enable that has been tested and is rolling out live, but it wasn't there at the start of the preview. So we use private endpoints to work around that. So if you were to use the preview right now, it's not the same as the GA bits that are coming out in a few weeks. And the difference matters to things like putting routes around or NSGs around your inbound traffic or something like that. It matters to just a mix of things, how it's deployed. In the preview, we've got two subnets being used. One has the private endpoint, it could be whatever, and the other is your ACE subnet. In the final GA thing that's about to go out the door, you'll just have the one subnet. You won't have any private endpoints. It'll be a lot cleaner. I think if you want to try it to get a feel for the underlying, you know, aspects of being able to put routes and NSGs on your system and have nothing get affected, or to try it out, see how it performs for you. The inbound and outbound rates are much higher than we were in V2. We've upgraded the compute to DV4 layer also, so that's a lot better. I encourage that. But the scaling improvements that I talked about earlier are also going out in this next update. So if you're to test scaling now, they're still slower than the final thing that's about to go out the door that we've got to play with, but our customers haven't had the opportunity yet. Because we got to do the deployments and they take a while. And then to the second part, the very important part, upgrade. We have an upgrade mechanism that's going to be going out the door shortly after GA. It won't be there at the same time as GA. Upgrade's going to be at least in three stories or three segments. There'll be the ability to upgrade your ACE V2 to an ACE V3 in place or into a separate subnet. And that'll be going with shortly after GA. I don't have an exact time frame. Second incarnation will be the ability to upgrade your ACE V2 to an ACE V3 and say, but I want my ACE V3 to be zone redundant. You won't be able to do that in the first incarnation of the upgrade tool. And then the third one is there's a small gap where you can't upgrade an ILB ACE that has a custom domain suffix. So we changed that a while back where ACE V2 didn't take a custom domain suffix anymore. Instead, all of your ILB ACEs ended in a Microsoft Managed App Service Environment .NET endpoint. The reason we made that change was to solve SSO to the Kudu console, to eliminate customer managed certificates for the ACE, and to have a cert on the ILB ACE that was in your chain of trust for your browsers. But the problem here is there's still a lot of customers who have the old style ILBASs with their custom domain suffix. And we are going to work that, but we have to build in the necessary infrastructure so an HTTP/3 can have a custom domain suffix. So that would be the last incarnation of the upgrade. But at that point, we expect that we'd be able to upgrade everybody from V2 to V3. And also, why wouldn't you? Because, you know, it's cheaper, it's faster, it's got no networking problems. It's great. Loves it. All right, I'm a little hyped on it. I even made my own hoodie for it.
Wow, that looks nice. So, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask you, I think you may have just answered it, was about using these custom CA certificates, right? The customers have their own CA route, and they want to, I think in the previous ACE, I believe that was a sticking point. That was not an easy way to pre-install those CA certs. And if I heard you correctly, now that's possible, I guess, with the new ACE V3?
Well, the App Service Environment .NET endpoint and the elimination for needing to have a cert for the entire system, that went away in, I guess, May 2017, something like that. I guess we weren't the loudest about it. But when we made the change where customers wouldn't set the domain suffix for an ILBACE, instead, they would just give us the ACE name, and we made the ACE name.appservice.environment.net the endpoint, and we handle all the certs for it. Customers still can set the certs for their individual web apps, just like they've been able to do for a while. They can also upload a cert for client purposes. So if they want their apps to have some sort of client cert, they can also do that, and that's still possible. That was possible in ACE V2. It's not like well UI'd as an experience, but it's something you could do, and there's instructions for it that are still valid. What we want to do as we evolve ACE V3 is add a clean integration with Key Vault, so that as we let customers set a domain suffix, that there could be a Key Vault reference to pull the certs for their domain suffix for all the apps in their ACE, and that we have a very clean mechanism for handling it. The older mechanism was not as good as we would have liked. It involved like upgrade walk of the ACE to apply the certs and a mix of other things. So we want to make sure that we're only offering best in class as we move forward. The ACE, after all, is meant to be our top tier app service. So, you know, we want it to be nothing but the best.
What for someone that started with like multi-tenant app services, and now that I know that I have requirements that using ACE V3 for this instance will be more appealing, what are new things I need to learn to be able to like take advantage of what ACE provides, other than all the compliance and security ones that you mentioned? Like, how does the experience differ?
Well, if you're using the multi-tenant service or ACE earlier, you're now overqualified to use ACE V3. So you now know way more than you need to than if you're using ACE V3. So I guess you can unlearn a lot of what you knew. You know, tequila I hear helps with that. But the way I would look at it is with ACE V3, you will still need to respect DNS. We have in the portal create flow the ability to automatically set up your zone with Azure DNS private zones. However, that'll give you your sphere of DNS inside your Azure virtual network. If you want to extend that across ExpressRoute to on-premises, then this isn't really an app service environment thing, but you have to know how to forward that zone. And there's a lot of info about how to do that to your on-premise DNS server. If you want to change how you manage DNS in your virtual network, you again would have to then set things manually inside your DNS server, because we don't like integrate with all the DNS servers out there. That's, I think, the big bit of education that you have to still hold on to is how DNS handles, like how do I find my apps? But you don't have to enable anything on your apps. You don't have to set any UDRs or NSGs. Really, you kind of just deploy it and go, woo, I can use it. Yes, no problems. So it's nice. I loves it. If you're using the multi-tenant service, The challenges there is that we've given you so many options that people have to know what features do what. I can't tell you how many times people have said, hey, I've set private endpoints on my app, but I can't reach a database on-prem. And I'm like, private endpoints is for inbound, not outbound. And they're like, oh, what do I do for outbound? It's like, use the VNet integration. Likewise, I've had a lot of questions around, hey, I've got VNet integration, but I still can't reach my web app. So we've made a lot of improvements recently in the portal experience for the multi-tenant networking blade. And if you actually went there, I mean, it's a small thing. It's a weird thing to hype up, you know, UI, but the UI now has inbound features and outbound features. And hoping that actually solves some of the difficulty. But understanding when you use what feature, that's its own little small bit of challenge in the multi-tenant service. So if you already understand how you do that, and you already understand how those play, then, like I said, you know way more than you need to for ACV3, which is deploy ACV3 and it's there. You're good. So the tequila is still a good suggestion.
Yeah, so I know we're kind of short on time here, but I know that there's some exciting things like App Service Managed Certificate went GA, I think like yesterday or
yes.
And then I know we've done a lot of work on Java. So just curious if you want to highlight any of that kind of before the end of the show.
Yes. So App Service Managed Certificates went GA yesterday, and that's a huge deal. Probably the top item for years was people wanted access to, they wanted Let's Encrypt was what they posted, but what they wanted was free certs. They wanted it to be built in as part of the service. And so we did it differently, but you've now got that. So that's a big deal. It doesn't apply to things like a private endpoint or like an ILB ACE, but if you've got anything in the public domain that's publicly accessible, hosted on App Service, now you can get free certificates for it. They also automatically update. You don't have to go in there like, oh yeah, oh, let me set a calendar event to go and update my cert. No, it'll do it on its own the way it was always intended when the heavens and earth were created long ago. They said, you should not have to update your certificates. So that one's huge. I'm very happy about that. I think it's solving a pain point like that is exciting because what it does is it's what realizes the whole PaaS dream, right? The whole idea between platform as a service is we take care of these problems for you so you don't have to. We manage the operating system. We handle the certificates. I mean, so this is, for me, I love this. This is like one of my favorite changes in the service in years. The next one, though, I'm very excited about also, albeit for a different side, going to the Java, is we've got JBoss EAP. Right now, it's in preview on App Service, and we'll be going to GA in a short bit of time. I can't give you dates, of course. But this has been developed as a partnership with Red Hat to provide an integrated support model so customers have a pay-as-you-go way to deploy JBoss EAP on App Service, and they have all the support level that they expect and are used to from hosting it on-premises. So if you're living on-premises and you want to move to the cloud with your legacy stuff, or heck, it could be even new JBoss EAP stuff, then hey, now we've got a playground for you. What's really cool about this is it closes the story on, well, mostly on Java PaaS hosting on App Service is probably the best now in the world, right? If you're looking for a PaaS service that hosts your Java apps, you're going to be hard pressed to find anything that can even compete with App Service, and nothing can beat it. So that's really cool. We're now covering everything from enterprise Java down to Spring, Java SE, et cetera. And both these things are kind of like the ACV3 and the Java stuff are both like realizations of stuff that back when I interviewed in the dawn of time, the hiring manager said, you know, what do you think of App Service? And I said, I think it's, or it was Azure Websites then. I said, it's really great, but it's kind of like a toy. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you can't really do real work on it. I mean, you can host apps that, you know, are really public and, you know, doesn't support really enough languages. And he's like, well, what would you change? And I said, well, I would make it so you can run inside a virtual network, or you have access to customers' resources on premises. And, you know, you could use enterprise class languages like Java. And, you know, so people could lift and shift their workloads. He's like, oh, cool. I'd like you to make that happen. And they hired me. And so, like, now it took, we'll say, a long time, But we're finally at a spot where I think we've got like a best-in-class injection scenario for networking, and we've got now the entire run of the mill for Java. So between both these things, I'm very pumped. It's an exciting summer.
And the managed certs are great. Energy is contagious. Seriously, it's awesome.
Yeah, Christina, you're as passionate about this as when we spoke the last time, which was a few years ago. So I'm glad to see that passion still lives on. Appreciate
also,
you sharing
just
all these.
Wanted to caveat too, just for anyone that's not familiar, it's Red Hat JBoss Enterprise Application Platform. That's what that stands for. Just if anybody didn't know what EAP was, that's what that is. So just wanted to call that out. Sometimes we use the synonyms and people are like, what is that? So doing the Google search for you if you weren't familiar. Or the Bing search, you know.
Awesome. Christina, any last thoughts on ACE or anything else that you want to share with our listeners before we close?
Stay tuned for the GA announcements. Provide feedback. You can find me on Twitter, though I'm not very active, but you can still find me there. I'll be out there making noise about ACE V3 when it goes live. And beyond that, you know, hope everybody is as pumped about this product as I am.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very,
very
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.